Today, two of our favorite guests, YouTube's comedy queen Devin Green and her hunky husband Joel Bryant. Joel was recently cast as an understudy in a major Broadway comedy, and at the last minute, the show got postponed. So in the meantime, they're putting on a comedy show in San Francisco and want you to come.
Devin has a new video to share where she's the judge, jury, executioner, and host of an elaborate fashion show from a time when nuclear bombs could destroy everything. So you had to look good on the runway. Plus, Betty Bowers gives tips on how to get your man to speak in tongues.
Join us for this and all the hot news. Lady Gaga apologizes for using the word retarded in a response to accusations that her new song, Born This Way, is a ripoff of Madonna's Express Yourself. Gaga also apologized for not hearing Weird Al Yankovic's parody of her song and gives the green light for the world to see Weird Al in drag for his next music video.
The government of Malaysia sends 66 teen boys to an anti-gay counseling camp.
Are insects the new superfood?
Chicago's Slut Walk, coming June 4th.
And the unusual story of a stolen octopus that managed to get drunk when his thieving owner wasn't looking. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Today's show is brought to you by generous support of fabulous listeners like you.
We really can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffun.com, and make a donation. Buy a t-shirt.
Your financial support makes all the difference.
Thank you.
Hello?
Hello, is this Devin or Joel?
This is Devin.
And this is Joel with my moist used porcupine panties.
Devin, you sound a little butch.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've been mistaken for an Adam's apple.
Oh, you blew our ruse, Devin.
And you just blew $50.
Wouldn't be the first thing I've blown in L.A.
Devin,
yay,
Joel.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
In case
you don't know, it's me, Fausto, but you know that from caller ID. And Mark is here.
I'm here too. But it's not my birthday. It was Fausto's birthday. He turned 39.
And thanks for reminding everybody.
Okay. Well, you said you were very proud of your age.
I am. I do want to be one of those people who's like, growing old gracefully.
Mm-hmm. This is a national holiday.
It is. Dia de Hostos.
In Puerto Rico.
That's correct.
Because we were sitting in the armchair with a kettle on watching over my ovaries, or an aviary, either one.
Watching all of our favorite Puerto Rican cinema.
Yes, in your honor.
Oh, so you were watching West Side Story and Jeffrey, because there's and
drag love, shows on YouTube.
But the film that actually has me most in it in terms of DNA is Love, Valor, Compassion, when one of the characters is actually based off of me.
Oh, that's right.
Ramon Fornos, the performance artist, Puerto Rican drag queen extravaganza.
I like any movie title that has 3 exclamation points in it.
At the start of the sentence, the end of the sentence, and halfway through.
Well, if it was love, valor, compassion in Spanish, in Puerto Rico, it would be amor, compasión y valor.
And that would have 6 exclamation marks, because you have to have it before and after.
Explanation and exclamation marks.
That's true, and if pink was in it, you'd be one more exclamation mark.
I would have a subtitle with piso mojado.
Let's not talk about your vagine, Devin.
I can't. My lady pocket looked like a leather watermelon. It's just an old school load holder.
I just thought of the best Devin Green iPhone app. Just a chart of all like synonyms and euphemisms for vaginas. And with you saying it like a soundboard.
I don't think that would get approved.
The iVagine.
Yeah, it could be, because it's all euphemisms, so it's not technically dirty. You'd be like, my love pocket, my shaggy DA, my peas and lettuce.
It'd have to be very veiled.
Yes.
And I could call it a lady's insidey meat.
I think it'd be worth just, you know, because there's some highly technical people, and I know Devin and Green and Joel Bryant need to eat right now because Joel's on the hiatus train.
the hiatus train to nowhere.
Well, no, we can back up really quickly. Okay. Joel felt very strongly about doing an audition for a Broadway play. It was his first ever. He would be Josh Hamilton, and Dane Cook's understudy was Julia Stiles for a Neil LaBute play. He got it, and then what happened, Joel?
It was fantastic. I got it, so I put a deposit down for a sublet, and I packed, and I got my plane tickets.
In New York.
Canceled everything in L.A. for 4 months, and then 3 days before I was supposed to leave, it got postponed until October.
And we canceled everything.
Boo.
October of this year?
Yes.
Oh, okay, because I thought on Facebook you said like 2012. I was just like, well, that's a long postponement.
So I think someone made that. Did I write that or someone else? I don't know.
Maybe. Somebody did.
But so you were going to be like understudying for Dane Cook with your clothes on?
With my clothes on.
Because he's known for such stark nudity.
Even though the play is called Fat Pig, the Fat Hog will not be making an appearance.
Is it really called Fat Hog?
It's called Fat Pig.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. It's Neil LaBute, so it's very very male. Delves into the male psychosis of a guy who falls in love with a fat chick.
Well, what other things has he done, Joel?
Neil LaBute?
Yeah.
He's run a half marathon?
No, what?
Oh, you mean...
Those are the pussy marathons, creatively. We call them here.
No, didn't he write the...
He directed The Wicker Man, wrote and directed...
In The Company of Men?
In The Company of Men.
When you say, like, The Wicker Man, do you mean, like, the recent one or the one from the 60s?
It's the recent one, so it's not a highlight on the resume, but it's right. One people recognize.
Okay.
He's the David Mamet, if you will, of new theater.
So you were going to, like, be eligible for a Tony, or you will be eligible for a Tony in 2012 or 2013, right?
We could say that, yes.
As an understudy, I think they have a special category.
Best understudy.
It takes place in a bar somewhere on the Lower East Side.
For people you haven't seen this year, but who put the work in. But
most ambitious understudy.
I was looking forward to getting paid for doing nothing.
Well, yeah, that's you can just work out all the time. But the thing is, though, too, is like when you're the understudy, you know, big stars such as Dane Cook, they're like, okay, I got this gig. I'm supposed to be doing 8 performances a week. I'll do 4.
Yeah. I'll do 1.
And what are they going to say?
You know what I mean? And then when his contract runs out, they said I should plan to be out in New York for 6 months. Because when the initial contract runs out and the show becomes a hit, then they usually just pop in the understudies, like on The Producers or Putnam County Spelling Bee or any of those kind of things.
So we can still be allowed to be excited for you because it is going to happen.
Absolutely.
Yay!
Thanks for holding the excitement until now.
I was exploding.
Well, I just wanted to make sure. But,
yeah,
you know.
It is a go.
Now, but you guys are working comedians. You guys perform right. Together. Was there any plans to bring Sneak Devin onto the set?
She wouldn't fit into a show called Fat Pig. Maybe Skinny Chicken or something like that.
Well, you'd be like, here's my attractive next-door neighbor who needs a cup of sugar.
I would just walk back and chew the scenery and munch the carpet, chew the rug.
Polish things.
Dressed as the shish kebab that the fat girl eats.
I think that was some onomatopoeia. You did what? So, because we canceled our shows, you know, we got quite a few back, but there were some gaps. So we contacted a theater, the Main Street Theater in San Francisco, on April 28th and 29th, we're going to go on up there and do 2 shows at 7 and 9 o'clock, and we would love to see the Feast of Fun's friends. But the only caveat we have, if you are a Feast of Fun listener, please come up and introduce yourselves to us.
Yes.
Okay, we would really love to see you out there in San Francisco.
They're not going to do that. They're just going to sit in the back row with a trench coat. It's that kind of theater.
Wow.
There'll be some.
doing like a Paul Reubens.
What kind of theater is this, actually?
What kind of shows do they
the
normally do?
Cat.
No, they'll come and they'll wear their t-shirts and they'll come up and say hi and get their picture taken. And I hope they'll post it on feastoffun.com/fresh.
We would love, because we wear our Feast of Fun t-shirt all the time, as you well know.
Aww.
Mark's wearing his right now.
I actually
had a guy at the gym. Who I've been cruising. I was wearing my Feast of Fun t-shirt, and he had no idea what it represented or meant. He looked at it, poked at it with his index finger. Mm-hmm. This is Nurse Daniel.
Oh, really?
And said, I'll say. And I was like, to me, that was the best compliment I've gotten.
Yeah.
in forever. Mm-hmm. Is somebody like just out of, and I was like, this was a good decision to change from Feast of Fools to Feast of Fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think so. He took it as an invitation for a smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Well, look, once you get fingered, you're going to get prodded.
So you guys actually really are going to be doing a show in San Francisco.
Finally, yes.
Yeah.
That is amazing. And it's like that most of your fans and most of all your friends are up there. And so it's going to be a hoot.
We're really going to have a lot of fun. And Rebecca Arthur is going to open up for us. She won California's Funniest Female. I believe she's, what, Joel, 7'1"?
She's Amazonian.
She makes you look like a shrimp.
Yeah.
Yes, but she is effing hilarious.
She is bloody funny. We're really looking forward to it. You know, it's sort of agathocacological.
Huh?
Are you
trying to fit in words from your
evil,
Facebook?
Both good and evil.
Bucacological.
No.
What? Say it again.
Agathocacological.
What is that? What word is that, Devin?
Well, it means the etymology means both good and evil. It's a German word from scientifics.
Germans have wonderful words for things.
Well, because they can take many words and stick them together, and it forms like a new word.
Like
and
Doom und Drang and Schadenfreude.
Or Haagen-Dazs.
My favorite is Schlegroom, which is whipped cream.
Schlegroom?
Mm-hmm.
So are you going to like come out of an egg or do any kind of Lady Gaga parodies? Because the gays love that.
The idea was, no.
Wow. After a lot of discussion, but she's certainly been, maybe it wasn't her intention to come off as hostile,
mm-hmm.
but I believe in a recent article, she loses it a little bit in the New Mexican Inquirer magazine, or was it the NME magazine?
NME, yeah.
That's a
New Maine. They have a new state. It's New Maine.
We're going to go on stage and we're going to remake a Madonna song and make it sound like it's not.
Do you guys want the exact quote?
Yeah, let's read that. Let's read the quote, but do it like Cyndi Lauper.
Like Cyndi Lauper.
Well, where is that quote? And thanks to Joe Fitzrick for posting it on the site. This is Lady Gaga.
Okay.
No, listen to me. Me. Why the fuck would I do that? I'm a songwriter.
Talking about Madonna's song, yeah.
She's talking about, the question is, a bit of Born This Way sounds a lot like Express Yourself, though, doesn't it? The reference seems so obvious, it had to be intentional. As you say, you're not stupid. No, listen to me. Why the fuck? I'm a songwriter. I've written lots of music. Why would I try to put out a song and think I'm getting over one on everybody? That's retarded. What a ridiculous thing to even question about me. I will look you in the eyes and tell you what I am not dumb or enough or moronic enough to tell you that you are dumb enough or moronic enough not to see that I would have stolen a melody. So sorry.
So you
Lady
started off Cyndi Lauper and you ended
Monique.
Yeah, it was seamless, though. It was a very seamless transition. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, try
so
it again.
So then today she had, a guilty conscience about, you know, because...
Yeah,
because, you know, some of her audience and our audience is special needs. Mm-hmm. And
they were born that way.
And they were born that way, as she says in her song, whether life's disabilities left you outcast, bullied, or teased, rejoice yourself and love yourself today.
Mm-hmm. Except
when I'm being accused of stealing someone else's song.
Well, the thing is, though, too, is like her answer, though, doesn't that answer even sound like it came directly out of Madonna's mouth?
It does, like, she's imitating Madonna even there in the interview.
She gets so defensive, too. If you're that sure about it, don't call it defensive. Just make a logical argument for it.
So this is her official word. She said, now today, after the hangover with Weird Al Yankovic and all this other stuff, I consider it a part of my life's work and music to push the boundaries of love and acceptance. Just like you, Devin. My apologies for not speaking thoughtfully. To anyone that was hurt, please know that I was furiously unintentional. An honest mistake requires honesty to make.
Well, aww. You know how Christians are. They're very selfish. I meant selfless. Pardon me.
Well, you know, too, when she was at the Grammys and she said she thought of Whitney Houston when she wrote this song, we thought, well, was that just a dig at Madonna? And it wasn't until, like, a couple weeks later that we were in Texas and we ran into a lesbian. She's like, oh, no, she was totally outing Whitney Houston as a lesbian. And I'm like, oh, okay. There you go.
You know, I think it's so amazing how quickly people are so quick to redact.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what, you said something, it's in print. No one's going to go back and read your redaction or apology and take away what was written in print. You said it, let it go.
Stop the redaction.
Well, you know, the simple solution to this is that instead of saying retarded, say special needs.
Well, it's still offensive.
Is that still...
Will someone explain to me why saying something is retarded when it is retarded is retarded?
Well, I think the original intention was they were two separate things.
Mm-hmm.
To my understanding is when, it, like in the 70s and 80s, when people go, oh, that's gay, it wasn't a slight against gay people, but because the word has come so strongly to stand up for gays that now it's a contradiction.
But do special needs people identify as retarded? No, it's not a word used to describe them.
Are they trying to reclaim it? Is what you're saying?
I mean, then can we stop saying then brain fart? You know, that was brain farted.
Well, I guess what you're trying to say is, what's a way that you can call people stupid and get away with it?
Yeah, or make it so it's not at the expense of someone's disabilities.
Mm-hmm. I think the difference is if someone calls themselves special needs, you can't laugh at them, but if they're retarded, you can.
The comedy rules.
Because I'll be the first to admit I'm a little bit special needs.
Right.
I'm the first one to second that.
But are you retarded?
We are all a little bit gay and a little bit retarded. Absolutely.
I identify with my retardism.
I am proud.
I grew up with a sister who's retarded, and we used that word retarded growing up, and then it became like, you know, special needs and also or mentally handicapped.
Handy-able.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Handy-capable.
So it's an evolution. When you come up with these things, you know, or what did they call people who are handicapped before? They called them cripples or gimps, you know.
Right, so or stumpies. Or dropsies.
Peggy. So
you know, eventually you have to move beyond those words that have a lot of stigma, and retarded has a lot of stigma to it.
And it's about starting a conversation and raising awareness and expanding consciousness.
It's true, but then when you use, take the retarded thing, don't you think the word has developed, don't you think when it became more politically correct to say special needs or whatnot, that the word itself lost its meaning and retarded means something completely different as well?
That's what a lot of people might argue about the word gay and you know,
or queer.
Or queer or something. And to me, it's like, it's best to always keep a winking eye in awareness that you are maybe possibly hurting somebody.
Yes,
absolutely.
But at the same time, have a sense of humor about it too, you know? And if your intentions are definitely, like Lady Gaga said, she is furiously, furiously unintentional in trying to hurt somebody.
Can I just go back for a second? I actually thought you were going to turn into Fran Drescher. It was me. Now listen to me. What the heck?
But, and so Weird Al Yankovic, I guess the parody had never been... Lady Gaga's official statement now is that the parody of the song was never shown to her, and therefore she never rejected it, and she actually approved it, and she actually listened to it, and she loves it. So we're going to get to see Weird Al Yankovic in drag.
Yay.
Wait, did you hear the lyrics already, though?
Yeah, I think it's good. It's not special needs.
I listened to a little bit of it, and I stopped listening, because I was like, there's so many Lady Gaga parodies out there, it's hard.
You know what, I'm going to actually agree with you. I think there's some really super clever ones. I think this was quite an undertaking, unless you had an original angle on it, but in my opinion, he was, and I really like that curly-haired contact lens-wearing minx, but in this particular one, he was just stating the things that people already comment about her, so he wasn't heightening them or putting a unique twist on it. So it was, yes, she does wear unusual things. Yes, she does show up in an egg. So I didn't find where the parody was in it so much.
Well, maybe it's going to be saved for the visuals of the video.
It could very well be. So I'll absolutely look forward to that. And by look forward, I mean not watch.
I really like Weird Al Yankovic in the new Arthur movie, though. He's funny.
Oh.
Is he in it? Or is that the
that's
actor?
That's a dig.
That's a dig at the actor who's in it.
Russell Brand. He looks like Weird Al now.
Well, you know what's so weird about that whole Arthur movie is, like, even though it's called Arthur, because I actually saw it the first time it came out in the theaters. I think my mother took me. I was too young to appreciate it. But I don't even remember Dudley Moore as much as I remember Liza Minnelli. I guess that just means I'm gay, right?
Then you knew.
But, like, who's the female in this version?
Oh, the older lady from England.
Well, oh, it's Helen Mirren? But no, that's his mother, though.
Oh.
That's his mother. That's not his love interest, right? Does he have a love interest in this?
His love interest, I think the bad girl is, I haven't seen it, but I think Jennifer Garner is the bad one, and then that Greta Gerwig, I think, is his love interest.
Those are none of them are not Liza Minnelli.
No, they aren't. That's a great point.
So you guys are going to spend the weekend in San Francisco, or are you just
going to
go?
No, we have shows back here, so we're going to go up Thursday morning, do two shows at 7 and 9 o'clock at the Main Street Theater on the 28th. That's Thursday. And then Friday, we're going to do two more shows at 7 and 9 and then drive home after that because we have shows Saturday in L.A.
Oh, you're driving home.
Yeah, it's so 6 hours of hooting and Annie in the car.
Do you stop at that one little restaurant that's got the windmill and have pea soup?
Split pea soup.
I eat boll weevils and crickets and other insects that are rich in protein and vitamins.
You just open your mouth, roll down the car window.
And they go in. That's how I'm helping for global malnutrition. The less ding-dongs I buy, the more for the kids.
She's moving on to our next news item. So, yeah, there's a guy in Laos who's trying to persuade people to eat insects because he's saying we can't keep eating cows forever, that it will never we won't get enough protein. So he's got silos in his backyard, and he's raising crickets and trying to get people to eat them.
Have you guys eaten insects before?
I think I had a chocolate-covered ant once. I have not.
We probably accidentally ate them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, accidentally, for sure. I know my mother said when she was in Morocco, she ate grubs. What they do is they put them on a string and then roast them on a fire.
Yeah, they're very nutty. They're very woody because they come from a tree. Hey, Joel, have you had a parrot?
No, I haven't, but I have had a cock or two.
Oh, what a
setup.
Don't put that.
Now that will be edited out of context.
Yeah.
That's just a preview of what's to come.
Have you heard
San Francisco?
San Francisco, open your golden gate.
I've mentioned this before on the show. They have the Meal Snap app, which you can take a picture of food, and it'll tell you how many calories in it. But if you take a picture of your penis, it doesn't recognize it as food. This is not a food item.
What if you put some potatoes beside your bangers?
Maybe. So have you guys ever eaten bugs?
I have.
What have you eaten?
Yeah. I've eaten grasshoppers and ants and crickets.
How'd you, like in tacos? Like I know in Mexican food they have that chapulín.
I prefer them in a chalupa.
You like a big fat chalupa.
I ate a grasshopper on a dare once, and I've eaten crickets as food and ants as food. They're good.
Oh.
Wow.
They're not bad.
You know, if they get like some of these physique models to start saying that eating grasshoppers is like fitness food, you know, like muscle building food.
Right, but the amount that you would need to eat to get your daily apportionment is so incredibly huge, you know, because these vermin actually taste like what they eat. So the woodworms taste like wood, and the knoll worms taste like knolls. No, but when you eat like berries or things like that, there's always caterpillars or tsetse flies or something.
Well, the thing with bugs, they have like that shell that they have that has that weird, what is it, creatine or something that has
chitin.
Chitin.
Oh.
And I think if you get too much chitin, that's not good for you either, is it?
Yeah, no, it's people have allergies towards it.
It's like vitamin D, you know. If you get too much vitamin D, what happens?
What happens?
Well, who knows? But if you stand outside in the sun for more than 11 minutes, you've tripled the or quadrupled the amount of vitamin D you're ever to have.
That's a great point, Evan.
Well, I mean, if they can convince people to make it, I always say if you want people to use condoms, turn it into a fashion accessory.
Perfect.
And if you want people to eat crickets or grasshoppers and stuff like that, tell them it's like it's the new superfood.
Mm. Right. It's like the new, have like instead of like pink berry, have like cricket berries.
Ooh.
I could bedazzle a condom.
You know,
bedazzled for her pleasure.
You know, when you start breaking down what's in a hot dog,
mm-hmm.
These insects wouldn't sound that bad, I bet.
There's a lot of meal. If you've ever eaten dog food, there's a lot of worm meal in that.
Well, there you go. I used to love doggy chow.
I
missed my cue.
You would.
What do they eat? For like, how do you grow worms though? Do you on rotten meat?
You need fertilizer, so you would need a lot of cows. You could have some crap.
I watched an episode of Master Chef. Like it's like they're a celebrity top chef, but for the master class, and they had a whole episode on cooking a bunch of bugs that just aired. I just saw it the other night. And one of the guys, he was Hindu, so he couldn't actually kill the bug to put it on the plate. So he made a little salad and then put the jar of caterpillars next to it, and then gave the people that were eating it their own personal blowtorch so that they could blowtorch their own caterpillar.
Oh. So he wouldn't kill him, but he would set him up for death?
Yeah, I guess he's Hindu, so he can't really... He, it's against his philosophy to kill an animal, but he can, like, you know, cook it.
That's kind of ticky-tack.
That's very cool.
That's just, like, looking for a loophole in the religion there. He's an accomplice to bug death.
But if you eat a grasshopper while it's still alive, will it still cricket in your tummy? Like, will you still hear you, like, at night? Kiki!
Mm. Ooh. We used to catch grasshoppers as kids and make them spit out their tobacco.
Oh, I remember the tobacco.
Yeah.
Grasshopper smoke?
Oh, I got to tell you the story that's going around the internet. Somebody, may or may not be a true story. Some guy felt sorry for an octopus at a Chinese supermarket.
No.
And when people weren't looking, he reached into the tank and grabbed the octopus and stuck it in his coat jacket and shoplifted it out of the store. But that's not the end of the story. So he managed to take the octopus home, and I guess he had like a fish tank with do octopuses need salt water or fresh water?
Salt water.
It was salt water, and I guess he managed to like keep the octopus. And so he like had a new pet. Mm-hmm. And then later on he went and got some beer to drink, and the octopus got out of the tank and drank his beer, one of his beers. And then he was like all alarmed. Open the can, you know, and I'm like, that's a pretty smart octopus. And so everyone's like going, oh my God, it's like, you know, is my octopus going to die if I drank a beer? And so the conclusion is that when octopuses get drunk, they squirt out all their ink.
What?
That sounds like a Devin Green story.
And so this is all going all over the internet. Everyone's like, octopus, you got to take your octopus to the hospital. True or not story, but it's being passed around the internet.
I am going to question the veracity of it. I believe it was based in truth.
Mm-hmm.
But I will call queries on the rest. I will certainly need to see some evidence.
I'm going to guess that when an octopus does get drunk, it does, in fact, squirt its ink. Because squirting its ink is something it does when it's scared, you know. And sometimes when you get drunk, you're irrational.
So does Joel. You should see his ink.
I hear it's white.
I squirt fairly consistently, drunk or not drunk.
Is she a shooter or a dribbler? You don't have to answer that.
I play all positions.
He's an accommodating basketball man.
So we have actually a lot of listeners in Malaysia, of all places in the world.
Consider
doing one in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur.
We have friends there, Kuala Lumpur, mm-hmm. and Tidikut and Phuket.
That's Thailand.
And shout out to New Zealand. Angela.
So one of our listeners, Calvin, sent this to me. So in Malaysia, they rounded up 66 teen boys between the age of 13 and 17,
yeah.
and have sent them off to a self-development course where they will undergo religious and motivational classes and physical guidance to stop them from being so effeminate. And so they had their teachers in school identify them, who they think might be gay, and they rounded them up and then sent them off to the country.
They're going to camp.
And
they put them like
camp.
They get a lawyer, and they go lift weights.
Well, then it's all going to go to pot when they go to the arts and crafts section of the camp. Well, I'm gonna say,
it's just like prison. Prison will harden you and make you a better criminal. These young gentlemen who identify with being gay will only come out with their gay gang.
Because mm-hmm. right, they're all going to be locked.
A strong group.
They're all going to be locked in the same bunk for 4 days. Please.
I wish they had a feminine sort of group in Thailand. I would certainly attend that one. I could be a bit more of a lady, right?
In my mind, I'm thinking like this could go two ways. Like these kids could come together and then form a group, and then like, oh no, they're not alone, and maybe rally, you know, to a cause. The other part is though they're going to be stigmatized for the rest of their life. They're going to like, it's going to be on their record that they were sent off to this camp, and they're not going to.
I think what's going to happen is that their camp counselor will accidentally die, mm-hmm. and then we're going to have a version of Lord of the Flies but RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. And then there's going to be someone playing a flute.
Piggy must die.
Suck to your ass, Mar.
Sashay,
you must go away.
That's kind of sad. Why do they single out these 66? Is it, what's the legalities of being gay or the social implications of being gay in Malaysia?
It'll send you to jail.
20 years in prison
for
sucking
anal,
dick.
Though?
Sodomy, 20 years.
20 years.
I think if you guys went over there, and
you'd be in prison already.
They'd be like, lock you up.
The one look at you, they'd just be like,
they would go, get her to a camp. She's almost a guy, but not quite.
But look at the rack on that girl.
So, yeah, I don't. But the other thing is, though, too, is like some people say, they're gay and they live open lives. I think it depends on like what kind of economic status you are in Malaysia. If you're a rich gay guy, you're not going to care too much.
Isn't that crazy though that there's so many places all around the world that try and pray the gay away? Mm. And you know, when you're genetically born gay, that's it. Or you know what? Quite honestly, even if you fucking choose to be gay, that is your choice. You do what you do.
Devin, are you saying that you were born this way?
No. You will not pimp that out of me.
Well, you know what we need? We need like a sexual liberation party for everybody.
There's actually
going to
be a whore march in Chicago.
Oh, right.
A whore march when?
It's happening this summer. I don't have the details in front of me, but I can Google it.
A whore march?
Yeah, a march for whores.
That's going to be slow because everybody's going to be walking all bold.
There's a slut.
Tired.
It's a Chicago slut march.
Did they not just do that in Toronto?
They did.
Yeah. Get this. Because it was so successful, they're actually planning to organize the Million Slut March.
On Washington.
Is anybody who wants to have sex, or is it...
Well, the sluts.
Well, what happened in Toronto was that this girl, I think she was a victim of some kind of attack, and the Mountie police said to her, said, "Boy, if you didn't dress so goddamn slutty, maybe you wouldn't be a victim of whatever kind of attack it was." And so the guy has since retracted. He goes, "I realize how horrible that sentiment was." But a lot of people have that sentiment where they blame the victim for what happened. And right. So these people got together and said, "We're going to do our Million Slut March." But of course, they did it in Toronto in, you know, beginning of April, which might as well be winter. So people didn't look very slutty. There was very little cleavage. Yeah.
I want to see
G-strings.
I want to see that guy who has here's a stripper here in Chicago, and he has like "Never Give Up" tattooed on his chest. Which technically, if you have that on your chest, you've given up. But
pretty much.
But he's a really nice guy. And all the brothers in that family are strippers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do they dress in costumes?
They do.
They do. Like they have like dresses like football players, wrestlers, Athenians, Spartans.
But I want to see them along with like
pirates.
Lots of bears and lots of different body types, you know, all wearing next to nothing in the Chicago Slut March this summer.
I just want to go to the after party. That's going to be ridiculous.
Slut March, slutwalkchicago.org, and it's going to take place this summer.
Do you have to take an entrance exam?
It's going to be June 4th. So this summer, June 4th, from noon to 3, and it's going to be downtown Chicago, and we'll be there covering it.
Oh, I'll be there. I'll be selling suntan lotion.
It's going to get a little crispy out there.
I can't wait to go to this. Will you guys come?
Are you not named the Grand Marshals?
Shit.
No.
They
should have a grand marshal.
But although, strippers don't like to be called whores or prostitutes. They like to be called exotic dancers or
sex workers.
Dancers. Right. So it's interesting how this one is, you know, slut march. You know, you could have a, you know, easy to finger march.
It's the slut walk, just to clarify.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, marching is a little too intense for some people.
It involves boots.
Yeah, they're going to walk. It's going to be kind of a big mass walk of shame.
Yeah, because if you're wearing like stilettos, you're not marching, you're walking.
Right.
That's true. Are you going to wear clothes from the night before because you haven't gone home yet?
That's exactly what it should be. It should be the walk of shame.
I'm going to be there like wearing as little clothes as possible, legally plausible. One time, like this was back in when I had first moved to Chicago, and I came from Austin, Texas, which is kind of a very like skin embracing city.
I told you I wasn't from Puerto Rico.
I was living in Austin, Texas, my dear. But so I had just like finished working out at the gym, and I guess like for some reason I thought it would be a good idea because I had these like underwear that looked like pants to just wear my underwear.
In your world, they look like pants.
And so I'm walking downtown in Chicago, and people are giving me this look like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Because I'm walking around in my underwear in downtown Chicago.
Is it okay to be topless or naked in Chicago? Because there might be laws for that. Because I know in New York, it's legal for women to be topless in New York City.
In public spaces, what it is, yeah. In Chicago, no, the nipples must be covered on women. So women will march in parades and they'll have a little like masking tape covering their tits.
All of your nipples?
Yes. Just your nip. Maybe some of the areola. I'm not really sure. But especially like if you do, you can do performance play things in the nude, like if it's art. But if they serve liquor there, I think you have to cover up the nipple. And also, no hole, no pole.
If you were walking pantsless, would you just have to cover up the tip of your penis or the whole thing?
You think you'd have to cover pretty much the whole thing. You know, because if they could get you on something else, like lewd behavior or
being too big.
There's only so much tape in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Only my disappointment is going to be is that, you know, you imagine the slut walk going to be this fabulous orgiastic expression. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, you know.
It's going to be a bunch of feminist bullshit.
College students.
I'm just kidding.
Complaining.
Feminist retards.
Holding up. What's the most unsexy thing you can think of is holding up like protest signs. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because it's blocking your tits from showing.
Yeah, you should be, like on the thing, like you should be able to stand there, watch the parade, and as people walk by, they all grab your junk consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was a slutty thing to do right there.
It's going to be burlesque artists doing lots of titty.
What's the difference between a burlesque artist and a titty dancer?
Let me tell my own joke.
I'm just asking you. I'm really seriously asking.
What, you guys, what's the difference between a stripper and a burlesque artist?
What?
30 pounds.
That's a good joke. That's funny.
You know who laughs at that the most is burlesque artists. Because they're like, it's so true.
Girl, it is true. Mark is the Monique of burlesque.
They do a burlesque show here in LA now, and they dress up like Star Wars people.
Oh, really?
Or like video game characters.
Oh.
They got to do something to reinvent it. Because I get press releases for burlesque shows all
every day.
Every day.
It's so bland now.
Yeah. It's like you really got to do something to make it interesting.
It's hard to find the artistry, but there are some, I think, people who are still really good at it. Remember, Devin, we saw a show.
Yes, we did see a show. The only thought I had was if I was up there, I would dress myself. I would start naked and put clothes on.
It's the reverse striptease.
End up with a turtleneck and.
But you could work a pair of pumps and a bikini.
I can guarantee you this. Because my legs seem to have an unusual length. It honestly just looks like someone on stilts. That's a transformer. Trying to move.
Who's jealous of her husband now, huh?
Hey, I'm banging Optimong.
Well, you know the trick to getting the tassels going is they pretty much go on their own. All you have to do is bob up and down, and you can bob up and down. Can't you?
No, it's making circles with your shoulders.
But that's kind of bobbing, though, isn't it?
Well,
I think you can just do bobbing.
Look at, I think if you've seen Raja's chest, you've seen my chest.
So you got to get big pasties.
or bigger breasts, is what I'm saying.
Well, you know, nothing a little paint and a plastic surgeon can't cure.
Do you have to be a slut to walk, or can you just, like, walk in support of
you? You can be a slut enthusiast. A slut enthusiast.
Yeah.
I think it's... Listen, consider doing a show in Chicago that weekend.
Look, at we're trying like hell to get out there. Hey, Joel, if you don't mind, I'd like to put an offer out to the Feast of Fun listeners.
I do mind. Oh, depends on what it is, I guess.
That. If you can think of a good question, we'll give somebody two passes for our San Francisco shows if they happen to be up there. Any one of the four shows on Thursday or Friday at 7 or 9. Just think of a good question before the end of the show that someone has to answer.
But is this live?
It's not live.
What?
No. Someone has to post the answer.
They post the answer on the site.
Go
to feastoffun.com on today's show with Devin and Joel and just post anything funny and creative and clever. And the best answer will get free tickets.
Totally.
You know what? May I just change that to, we're going to put all the names in a hat because it's really tough to judge.
You want to listen? You want people to work for you.
The best one.
Look at, they still have to be funny. Your name won't go in a hat if it's not funny.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So, Devin, you also have a new video out—a new Betty Bowers video.
That's the first of maybe several gospels.
Oh, many. What are these? They were kind of like the Beatitudes or something, weren't they?
Right.
And it was bitchy attitude.
Very true. And there was also a little bit of some crowning fashion. And, you know, just so people know, I would like to be very clear. I asked Mark and Fausto to have a look at it before I posted it up, and they gave an excellent suggestion of... because I just had a solid color around the side, and they gave...
Oh, your other video.
The crowning fashion, her parody of runways.
And they had a
runways.
Great visual idea to make it more stimulating and fancy, and I took it, and I was really thankful that they had such a... It was such a great idea, and I really appreciated it, so I do
want
people
thank
to know
you.
That.
It looks intentional, like nobody would guess that you're trying to hide the time code with it.
Jesus, flagging.
And you've learned the fine art of audio compression. You can do so much.
It really looks good, though. It's like, it makes me want to go, that's actually a nice technique. Because it doesn't feel, you know, everybody's always like putting their what the term is called, the bug on the bottom of a video.
The nag. Yeah.
It's to, you know, remind people, like, this is my website, don't steal my video, but... I mean, because, like, we have people, like, setting up accounts on YouTube, the Feast of Fools, and passing themselves off as us.
And taking our videos.
And taking our videos and our view counts. And I wrote to YouTube and I said, you know, these people obviously are trying to impersonate us and it's not us. Mm-hmm. And their response was like... Well, you have to legally file a copyright complaint and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, so it's really easy for our videos to get yanked down.
Right.
But when people are stealing our stuff legitimately and it's really a chimpanzee can tell.
Just like.
I did. I was like.
Yeah, we should get the listeners. Listeners go to youtube.com/TheFeastOfFools and flag that video.
And that account, man. It's like, that's some crazy stalker who has it out for Victoria Lamar.
You really need to get your credit because you guys put so much energy and effort into it. It's, you know, it's pretty crazy that they would. I don't know. Why didn't they just.
Joel. You know what it is that they just right now, and I'm going to spill a secret. You want to know what it is?
I do.
I'm on the edge.
And this is making Google tremble in their pants chairs.
What?
It's crap in their pants.
And their million-dollar buckets of money.
So there's rumors going around that Apple Computer is planning in the fall to launch a competitor to YouTube.
No. Well, here's the thing, because YouTube uses Flash, you know that the iPhones and that don't use Flash at all.
Because think about it. iMovie, Final Cut.
GarageBand.
All this like content creating devices, and then all the content consumption devices all belong to one company. And the intermediary is YouTube. And Apple and Google haven't always had the best relationship, and so they're thinking actually... there's a lot of rumors and speculations, but they say that it's very likely that giant compound that they got in North Carolina is not for brewing whiskey, but it actually is to launch their content hosting and social, real social network that's going to make everybody crap in their pants.
Google's doing that?
No, Apple. Well, Google is, they're ditching because they have Google Video. That's what they started off with. Right. And then they bought YouTube for, what was it, $250 million?
For a dollar.
Which sounds like peanuts nowadays, huh? I mean, to them. But so they're going to ditch Google Video, I think, at the end of this month. They're just going to pull the plug.
Yeah, they are.
And we have some videos there that we need to take down.
Do we?
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll probably get around to it.
But it was such a weird interface, that Google Video. But you could get a lot. You could find a lot of stuff up on there that like they would have yanked from YouTube. So
I wish there was just like a button that you could hit and it would just transfer it to your. Mm. You could link the account and be done with it.
But I wonder if Apple will have revenue sharing like YouTube does.
That's the big question is, because people have been sort of, I ads have been sort of like limited to a certain number of people. And really the appeal of using YouTube is their partner program where people can actually make money. So it's definitely something that for a lot of content creators and video bloggers, it's of interest to them because, people feel that Google is no longer interested in featuring new video bloggers, that they're really interested in chasing after mainstream television and content. And so the early days of YouTube when it was dirty and raw and had a lot of like gritty video bloggers are gone. And so a lot of people are hopeful that Apple is going to bring that back.
But Apple will make a douchey one way or another. There's going to be something that's going to be like, YouTube, but a little douchier. I don't know.
Or you have a negative spin on it, Mark?
I think so. Apple is always, I don't know. I always feel like they're condescending to me in some way or another.
Devin, are you still there?
I think they
probably
have
to go. Yeah, I'm just listening. This is fascinating. I'm just very curious how this is all going to pan out. Just because personally, not to have Flash on Apple, it's just so many videos you can't see on an iPhone. I'm wondering what sort of stranglehold they will have that will make people forced to choose.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like Sophie's Choice.
It'll be a beautiful baby. Mm-hmm. You have two beautiful babies. Which baby do you give? And Vimeo is like going, huh? What about me, fellas?
Sophie's Choice, my friend. Sophie's Choice.
George St. George on the Facebook page has a question for America's best Christian, Miss Betty
Bowers. He'll have to ask Betty directly.
Sometimes when I'm in a love session with my man, he makes these curious sounds, which I thought were the pangs of ecstasy, but he claims he is speaking in tongues. I've told him to keep the Bible out of our bedroom. Where do I draw the line? Sincerely, tongue-tied.
I draw the line around your nipples and up your tickle trail. I go right down there and I join them together and make a happy face. That's something that I would do. Don't you draw lines everywhere with whipped cream or your manscaping? Mm-hmm.
Well, do you ever do like something sexually that surprises your partner and they're like going, why are you doing that all of a sudden?
I'm a very demure.
Mm-hmm. Now, Devin, you're also the arbiter of good taste. So I was going to send somebody an email today and I decided not to because I thought it could sound kind of creepy or not. So I found a picture of somebody that I know. I found a picture of this boy who was murdered. And I thought, I bet you this kid looks exactly like this person that I know who's a lesbian when they were that age. Like, if I'd sent you, like, a picture of somebody that said, did you look like this murdered person when you were a child?
I personally wouldn't have an issue, but that's because you know me and I'm my personal, and those sort of, if you thought it was funny, you know what? As long as it's not done maliciously.
Okay.
I'm pretty much always up for it, even though ultimately, it comes out in bad taste.
But like, would that ruin your day? Would you think about like, oh my God, I look like this murdered kid, this poor kid? Would it be a downer? You know what I mean? I don't know.
But look, there's only a couple of things that really upset me, and you know what that is? That's gayism and racism. So those two, I have zero. Like, I don't really tolerate.
I'm offended by isms. Think about that
unless
for a second.
Unless it starts with a J.
Like then, ism?
Yes.
What? Yes. Wow. Fell into that one. Oh my God! Sound it out. Talk it out. Hooked on phonics. Jesus, crap.
This is like the Electric Company, but on crack.
I had a friend who worked at a place called Onyx once, and we prank phone called her, and we're like, "I got your book." Hooked on Onyx.
It
hasn't taught me how to read at all. Well, you guys, it's always a pleasure having you guys on the phone.
I don't want the show to end.
But it has to end. Like, all good things must end.
But, you know, actually, you can let the show continue because Devin and Joel are going to be in San Francisco. And for all the listeners that live in San Francisco, they're going to see them in person.
That's right. And if you post anything funny on Feast of Fun, if we decide it's funny, we will put it into a little a Manscaped basket.
Okay.
And then we'll rustle it up like a big bingo turner, and then we'll pull out a name, and we will shoot us your email, and we'll make sure you pick whatever show you'd like to come to.
Awesome.
Or like Photoshop Devin and Joel's faces onto like animals or biblical characters or like porn stars or anything like that. Just keep it clean.
What we'll do is we'll print out all the things and then we'll roll around on it naked, and whichever one sticks to us, we'll go to the show.
Would you guys do me a favor? Will you post the Facebook invite on the Feast of Fun page on Facebook, and we'll share it?
We'd be happy to. We have to get ready right now. We're going to go see Prince tonight.
Woo! Come on. Oh,
wrong guy.
What is it? So like Prince as in Purple Rain?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, have fun tonight.
That's amazing.
If you were here, you guys would go with us because the tickets are $25 each. He's keeping it moderately priced.
Really? That's so cheap, $25?
That's even cheaper than your own show in San Francisco.
I want to hear Bat Dance.
How much are you guys charging for the show in San Francisco?
Just above Prince's prices.
No, so, it's only $12.
That's amazing. So you guys are like twice as entertaining as Prince, but half the price.
What's a different feel?
We probably will go on for 4 hours. We're only doing an hour and a half.
That being said, we're twice as tall as Prince.
for pound, you get your entertainment. Guys, we love you so much.
Well, listen, happy birthday.
Yes.
Hope you got everything that you deserved in cake. I found this very informative today.
I think so, too. I learned a lot about eating crickets as a new power food.
Malaysia.
I learned that I don't know very much. That's what I've learned.
Jism.
I learned that I want to redact what I said earlier about redacting things.
No reaction.
I said about redacting.
Oh, one thing that we learned from Joel, this is the last word here, is the type of cop shows that you're doing, because you're also doing a television program.
Mine, Suspect Behavior, May the 11th.
May 11th, such a DVRs.
What role do you play, Joel?
Clark.
You play the dead body in it, right?
You're a serial killer, right?
Yeah.
What's the body count?
More than that.
A psychosexual serial killer that burns girls with cigarettes to get off.
Ugh.
How many girls did you kill in this show?
I can't tell you.
Oh, really?
But no. It's the industry term for these type of police dramas are called
procedurals.
Yay!
So you learned something new today, people.
Procedurals. Devin knew something. Because I told Fausto, I said
after an hour.
He called it a procedural.
A procedural.
Well, have fun at that concert tonight. Do a little boogie for us.
Yay, Feast of Fun.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
F-O-F.
Bye.
Bye, you guys.
Procedurals.
Procedurals is what they're called because they follow a procedure. I was really surprised that Janine Garofalo is on that show.
She is. She plays the dead body.
Oh. You know what? I forgot to ask Joel because Forrest Whitaker is in it. If there was any kind of like, if they had a crying game moment at all.
I think that's the secret twist. Joel's a girl?
No, it's the twist is you're a boy. He unveils.
Oh, maybe he's playing a
he
woman.
He suffers from duphalic tetra, which is the condition of having two penises.
Twice the pleasure.
Not really. I think it's kind of
weird. It's like double mint gum. Twice as minty in your pants. Arrgh, mateys. I sound like a pirate now.
Arrgh.
We're going to leave you with a fantastic new song, Chasing Rainbows by Ellen once again from her album Spreading the Love. It's a lot of fun. She is from Dallas, Texas.
Aww.
And she's a soul sister, and she looks fabulous. Check out her whole music through our website, feastoffun.com. Remember, 5% of your iTunes music store purchases go to support the podcast.
And I want to remind the listeners that we can't do the show without your support, so please visit feastoffun.com/donate and make a contribution to our ongoing website development costs.
If you donated today, thank you so much. I am Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everybody.
I keep chasing rainbows wherever they may be. I keep chasing rainbows everywhere I stay. I keep chasing rainbows. You may say silly things, 'cause I see rainbows.